From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress based on.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, original prose and a breakdown of being a young artist in Pittsburgh. But first, students at Brashear High School talk about the positive and negative aspects of social media.
My name is Laxmi and I'm in 10th grade and we're talking about social media. I personally like social media. I'm on it a lot, but I know how it can be like bad. Cyberbullying can happen because of it and everything.
My name is Joshua. I'm also in 11th grade. My view on the bad things on social media is that it can affect a lot of people. And even though it may not, you know, happen to you, you might be indirectly causing it, or you might not even understand that it's happening with people or the effects that it has on people. There are a lot of pluses to social media, too. There's a lot of positive things that as far as connecting yourselves with people who you may not have ever even met and experiencing different cultures just through internet. But it's a dual bladed sword, you know, it can be helpful, but it can also be really hurtful.
My name is Tyler, and social media is addictive, and it can work on your ego too. And you can be manipulated by your social media feeds. They could be telling you the wrong stuff that you wouldn't know. It's a lot easier to get fooled nowadays than it was 20 years ago.
People tend to like look at how many likes they get, like comments, and how many people follow them, and they just start getting like sad about it, and they're like, oh, there's some person has more likes than me. They're going like on vacation and I'm not. Just start messing up their mind.
When someone posts a picture, let's say, and they get 15, 20, 25 likes, when they see it, at least as a chemical, dopamine, you know, I got a likes, people like me. It's great, but it becomes addictive. Just like when we get older, drinking, it releases dopamine. Hanging with friends releases dopamine. Gaming, you know, doing things that you love to do releases dopamine. It's addictive. You want to keep doing it. With social media, it becomes what you were saying about people getting likes is more important to them. I believe that it can go to extreme lengths sometimes.
Because of like social media, people stop socializing like real life. Oh, like I can just send them like a snap on Snapchat or like DM them on Instagram and things like that. They don't communicate. And people will be always on their phone, like just looking down, texting. They don't look up.
Now, here's Prose by Dazeed, a teen at the YMCA Lighthouse After School Program in Pittsburgh's Homewood Brushton neighborhood.
People look through binoculars these days. Maybe not physical binoculars, but mental social ones. They always see one small area that's high up or far away, and they only focus on what they want to see. If the people don't see what they want to see, they'll readjust the lenses and redirect their attention back on that one thing. I think that people need to put the binoculars down and actually go out and see things up close, then try to find other things to look at with their binoculars. They need to open up their eyes and expand their vision. Basically, I see that everybody likes one particular thing, like one little area. Like everybody loves rap music, everyone loves the latest style of Jordans or something like that, but they don't realize that there's other things out there. There's other types of music that they can listen to. There's other types of brands that they can wear. There's other type of activities. I know this isn't exactly a bad thing, but everybody loves just like two sports. They like basketball and football. That's the most popular. But there's like soccer, there's like skateboarding, there's surfing, there's like all these other different types of things that they could do, but they only choose to do those two things.
On our final segment, DeMarcus, DeAndre, Destiny, and London discuss the challenges that Pittsburgh artists face in the city's changing creative landscape.
In Pittsburgh, you know, just for example, I like to feel like we're going through somewhat of our own cultural renaissance, you know, when it comes to art and creativity here. Now, I don't know if that's what's becoming somewhat of a trend, but it seems like more and more people are feeling comfortable, you know, to want to show their ability. to want to show their talent, from producers to rappers to singers to graphic designers to photographers to videographers.
You know,
I'm engineers. You know, I'm friends with a lot of musical talent. I know a lot of people in this room that do a lot of creative things. There's a lot going on in here alone. So how do you feel about the creative scene uprising in Pittsburgh?
Hey, I'm Lolo Ree. I am around the city. I'm a creative. I make music. I help artists and I interview artists. I feel like the creative scene here in Pittsburgh is coming fast, too fast for most creatives to catch a hold of, to the point where opportunities are flowing and going past the people with talent. As a creative, that means you can't be exclusive to other creatives. You know, you can't exclude someone because you don't like their style. Pittsburgh's not there yet, where all styles are accepted, all creatives are accepted. Yeah. One right now that is on the rise is music, performance music. Like, performing is now taking a rise, but other creatives in Pittsburgh are still feeling excluded. Like, my mom, she is a black sculptural artist, so she sculpts our people. She don't sculpt African tribal type of sculpture. Yeah. She does real mimics of people. Like, she does real people. So she doesn't have a place where she fits in yet. Fine art doesn't have a place where it fits in yet. So Pittsburgh, we're all anxious and we're all rushing to be this big creative scene, but not everyone is still welcome.
I feel like that's definitely a good point.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of creative people with a lot of talent that never really truly get their opportunity. People see them as different.
Ain't nothing wrong with being different.
Right, when there's nothing wrong with being different, but people don't always see that. A lot of people, like, I know a lot of people like that did not get their opportunity because of their parents or because of just, when it comes to music alone, just how their sound is, how their delivery is, the way they perform, like, people look at them like, oh, no, they're weird. Like, instantly weird. Like, instantly the weirdo. Like, the outcast people, you know? I definitely do get what you're saying when you say we're in this huge rush to become this art scene. Everyone's still discovering their art. Everyone's still trying to master their art. So it's really chaotic. Then there's the ones that seem like they got an understanding of their art right now. Then there's the people that are still trying to figure it out, and they're looking at them like, oh man, how'd they figure it out? I gotta figure it out. You know, then there's their fake friends or they're just around you because of who you are. Then, like, there's so many entities into it, you know, that makes it so chaotic. But I definitely get what you're saying. It's definitely chaotic. There's definitely a lot going on, you know.
Well, you know, sometimes it's not your fault that you can't accept you for you, because, like, you don't have the support system or, like, whatever your situation is. But, like, that's why I like to make people smile, you know, like, feel good. I like to make people laugh. And it's like, I don't want people to feel like they're alone or, like, they have, they're weird or they have to do something to fit in. So it's like, I do me no matter what. Like, if you know me, I'm just my own person. You can't make somebody say, oh, accept yourself, and, like, they're going to accept it. No, you, like, there's only so much you can do. If you're around me, I feel like you're going to be more comfortable with yourself, because I'm comfortable with myself, so I don't care what you think. Oh, she's weird. Okay, and I really don't care, but it's like, you do you. I'm okay with that. You could be black, white, any race, any religion, any anything. Why should that matter?
So how do minorities motivate other minorities to accept their differences and use them as advantages?
I believe one man can change the world, or woman, you know, there is strength in numbers. So, like, once we understand, because, like, some people are just in denial. Not only black people are minorities, like, people don't understand women are minorities, Asians. Basically, in America, if you are not white, you're a minority. That's what you expect.
Positivity is definitely, honestly, that's what makes the world go round, for real, for real. Like, if we wasn't doing anything positive in this room, you wouldn't even came in here.
Exactly.
Like, you know, positivity builds camaraderie. Is that the right word? And more people need to just be more open-minded and, you know, spread positivity through, you know, their neighborhood, school, wherever they're at on a daily basis.
Just smile. You never know. Like, just, yeah, you, like, just gotta look on the bright side, like, for real.
Yeah, like, if you're around negativity, you should just push past it and go to the positive side.
Or try to help them. Because, like, misery loves company. But you don't, like, see all these happy people being dragged down. You gotta, like, oh, she's doing good. Let me go over there. People love to be in some stuff. Like,
depression or like for mental real. Disorders that people
they
just
think that's cool.
I definitely
yeah,
I definitely
people just want to be a part of that, and I think they just feel like it's a positive thing. Not saying it's negative, but I think they think it's like a positive way to display.
I mean, I get publicizing it because like it needs to be out there, but you don't gotta like do it yourself. Like you need to help people, not
I
think that just plays a part problem. In people liking to capitalize on other people's pain. You know?
As far as like people, like you said, capitalizing off of people's pain, you never realize when people release that type of music, like Lil Uzi, All My Friends Are Dead, that took a wave like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Because he gave people who felt like they couldn't express it that voice, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what he didn't do, like you said, afterwards is, all right, now after I made that song, All My Friends Are Dead, and for all the people who are going out there going through it, this is what I did to help you say, this is what I'm going through. Now do this to fix it.
Yeah.
There's steps. Now, not everybody is in charge of taking those steps. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not in charge of saving your life or your life. But if I'm here, it's my duty to make sure that you's okay, that you take advantage of all the opportunities you have to make sure you are okay. But at the same time, there's like that awkward conversation we need to all have of, are you going to be the artist or the person who is the public person that speaks up and says, I'm here for you, I got you, I have you, or are you the artist who's just saying what you feel and releasing your music?
This conversation originally aired as part of Streaming Justice, a 5-hour teen-hosted talk show webcast on Martin Luther King Day. Hear more at neighborhoodvoices.org. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.